The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. How many of you have ever seen a ghost? You have? Oh, you're the mortician, I'm sure, maybe at the funeral home. I'll go bless it. Every now and then I'll have, "Father, can you come bless my house? We feel a presence." No? I think around this time last year, I told you the story of when I stayed in the dead priest's room. Do you remember that one? Yes? Some know. Okay, for those of you who haven't heard it yet, one of our priests, Father Gabriel, had passed away. And we said we had the funeral, and a year after we had a memorial mass. So the communities in Rome went to celebrate his life with a memorial mass at one of our convents. And of all the rooms that they could give me at this convent, they gave me their room, his room. And not only was it his room, it was the room where he died. Oh. And that evening, I still remember it, because the Italians, they only keep the air conditioning on for 2 hours, no? From like 8, or from 7 to 6 to 8, or 7 to 9. And then you freeze yourself to sleep the rest of the night. And it was just freezing. I was under the covers because not only was I cold, I was scared of Father Gabriel. And I swear to God, huh? And I can swear because it's true, the bed started to shake. Huh? And I prayed myself to sleep with Hail Marys, no? But then the following day, you know what everybody was talking about at the breakfast table? The earthquake. You have a good memory, huh? One time I was called, this is not going to be a homily about ghosts. Huh? One time I was called a couple of months ago. Somebody, one of our parishioners, works at the mall here. And they said, "Father, we feel a presence in the store where I worked." And the moment I got, I don't believe in this stuff like that, okay? But the moment, I knew nothing about the backstory. The moment I walked into the door, the hairs, you know, stood on the back of my neck. And then they told me this story. I'm not going to tell you which store. I don't know if I can do that. But it used to be the old movie theater. And for those of you who have been in Spartanburg for some time now, you'll remember around 94, two of the clerks who were working at the movie theater were shot and killed there. And I could tell you, I could go on and on and on, no? But I won't. My point in telling you this is because often I have people asking me, "Father, what's the church's teaching on ghosts?" And I think today, the weekend with Halloween, yesterday All Saints, and today All Souls Day, it's a good time to address this topic. What's the church's teaching on ghosts? She doesn't have one. It's a pious tradition. You know, well, there's a dogma of purgatory, and I like to explain my personal interpretation of ghosts is maybe God gives the souls in purgatory the grace to maybe leave and ask for prayers. Today we celebrate All Souls Day. We celebrate the souls that are in purgatory, okay? If you remember in the Old Catechism and still in the New Catechism, there are three, how do you say it? I forget. The three modes of church. You know, the church militant, we celebrated yesterday, all the saints in heaven who have been canonized, and those who were not canonized but are there, they're still saints. There's the church, no, that's the church triumphant. I'm sorry. That's the church triumphant in heaven. We're the church militant here on earth who are still fighting the good fight, trying to make our way there. And then there's the church suffering, okay? Somebody introduced me to a new phrase with regards to church suffering. She said church expectant, and I like that, huh? In a way, yes, they're suffering because there's that longing for God, but they're expecting heaven. They're sure that they're saints, okay? The expectant church is a church in purgatory. And what exactly is purgatory? I like to say it's a spiritual detox. No, when somebody's addicted to something, whatever it may be, it's not easy to go cold turkey. No, there's a process to kind of free yourself of that attachment. And that, in a way, is what purgatory is. When somebody dies and they're still attached to sin, they're still attached to things of the world, and they're not completely free to love God and to love others and to be with God and others for all of eternity, if they're not ready, how can they enjoy heaven? So heaven is kind of that waiting, huh? The old term was the temporal punishment due to sin. No, but the fire, and that the image of fire in purgatory is that image of that refiner's fire that purifies us of everything that's still holds us back from completely loving God and loving neighbor. Oh. So this thing, it purifies our love of God and one another so that when we are in heaven, we can completely enjoy heaven. Like for example, take if you were invited to a wedding feast, right? And you know there's going to be ribeye steak and prime rib and all that good stuff, but on the way, you stop for McDonald's and you fill yourself up with a Big Mac, how can you enjoy heaven? How can you enjoy the wedding feast? No? Because you're full. No? And it's the same. If we're still full of ourselves, if we're still full of sin, how can we enjoy the wedding feast of heaven completely? Oh. And so God has this purgatory. And maybe, you know, the Lord permits these souls to leave purgatory and ask them for our prayers. Oh, ask them, these souls ask us for another experience of love through our prayers, through our support of them, through some masses that we can say, so they can be ready to enjoy the beatific vision of God forever. Oh, there's the church expectant, the church suffering there in purgatory. And then the church triumphant in heaven fits in well with the gospel today. I like that phrase, we are standing on the shoulders of giants, no? And there's that beautiful song, we are standing on the shoulders of the ones who've gone, some came before us, something like that. We are, and they are the saints, you know, and if we stand on their shoulders, as Zacchaeus climbed that tree in the gospel, we'll be able to see a glimpse of Jesus, no? The saints raise us up to see Jesus. And so we stand on their shoulders and we intercede for our brothers and sisters who still are longing for to see the face of God. And you see, it's a cycle. No, we pray for them, they pray for us. And this is what the that's the term I was looking for. The communion of saints. No, the saints in heaven, the saints suffering in purgatory, and us, the saints in the making. May we intercede for one another. May we raise each other up as church so that we can all catch glimpses of Jesus as Zacchaeus did in the gospel. Amen.